Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. In today's episode, we have another amazing guest. Her name is Maria Jose Guzman Vasilis, also known as MJ.
I love MJ, how you say that name.
MJ is based in Miami. She is a product manager at the Interscope Records. She is also a founder of the management company called Boombox Management. Hi, MJ.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. You're one of the first guests in 2021. How was your holiday?
Yeah, it was fun. I was with my family here in Miami, great weather, so can't complain.
That's amazing. That's amazing to hear. I'm happy you had your family together.
Yeah.
So let's start. Are you ready?
Of course, let's begin.
So I always start with the same question. And it's about the background of my guest. So could you please talk about that?
Well, so I'm from the Dominican Republic, as you know. It's an island in the middle of the Caribbean, between Cuba and Puerto Rico. We are very proud of our music and what we do and what we put out to the world. But we're not famous for anything in particular, but for creating merengue and bachata, which are two of the biggest
Latin
kind of rhythms.
Big.
Yeah, it's kind of big. But in the recent years, we've gone super urban with our music, and you know, we haven't transcended more than from the island. So when I want to say 16, I was obsessed with like the X Factor, and I was obsessed with like what Simon Cowell did. Like, what is that position that gets you into a position of choosing songs and choosing artists and putting bands together and creating like marketing strategies to sell music. And I, little by little, started reading things here and there and started looking for programs that can open doors for me in that. And like at 16, I probably decided I was going to be in the industry, and I just didn't stop until I got it. For my parents, it was, they didn't want to let me like move out at 18 and let me like study like music business, because that was like, what the hell is that? Is that even a thing? Like, what? And so weirdly, but I'm glad they did. They made me stay in the DR for another 4 more years, and I went to business school and majored in marketing. And so that helped me a lot, because you know, that gave me background. It gave me a lot of business perspective. I thought it was gonna be like all fun and games in the music industry. And then I got my master's degree at Berkeley, and I went for global entertainment and music business. That's where I met you.
Yes,
we were like two of the youngest girls in the class, I think. And after that, well, wow. I mean, this is so unorganized. My thoughts are everywhere. But before going to Berkeley, I started my own company back in the Dominican Republic called Boombox. And I signed 3 artists. And I started just like figuring it out with them. Like, okay, this is publishing. Let me just read about it and help you out with it. This is management. This is concerts. This is label. This is like a distribution deal. And I started like, you know, getting aware of everything that moves in the industry besides what people see. And yeah, it's been fun. Everything was worth it. And it's...
So you basically started your own music management company without any experience in the music industry.
Well, I knew by books what I needed to do, but from that to actually putting into the practice of what you need to do and have the contacts of who you need to call and the companies that you need to target or whatever, that's what stopped me. The reason why I started the company is because there's no industry in the DR, so I couldn't ask anybody for a job in the music industry to get experience in order to go to Berkeley. So I knew I was gonna go to Berkeley 4 years before I actually applied. So I was like, okay, how do I build myself in order that when I wanna apply to Berkeley, they're not like, well, what have you done in the music industry? So I had a management company for 3 years. It's still on, but I don't run it anymore. And the artists that I signed initially, they're doing pretty good. Actually, I'm super proud of them. And
what was the most like proud moment of being a manager with your artists?
I signed this duo called Albi Plana, and their first concert, I was at Berkeley when they had it. And it was like, obviously they played for free. It was a festival in the DR, and we were expecting like 20 people, and then like 200 people were jumping on stage, and I was like, what the hell? Like,
wow.
I was like, that was so like, and I just got the videos. I couldn't be there. And I was super proud of them. And then another artist that we signed while we were at Berkeley with a friend called Snetty. She just dropped her EP. I don't work with her anymore, but like, I heard the songs, and she played the demos to me and all that. And she just put the EP out, and she's like number 19, top viral in Spotify and in the Dominican Republic.
That's incredible. Right now.
So yeah, I'm super proud of them, the work that they've done. They're super different.
And how did you find these artists?
I just like, it's my hobby to look for people on the internet. Like, even if it's data, stuff that I see, covers.
Is there anything specific that like usually catches your attention?
When they're different. Mm-hmm. When they're different. Anything that makes a difference, if it's the looks, if it's the sound, the genre they do. Contrary to like most people that work in the running industry, I have no intention to actually work elsewhere besides the Latin industry. Like, I really like Latin music. I love the diversity of Latin music. I think there's a lot of stuff to be done on the Latin aspect of stuff, whether it's film, movies, music. And so I'm not sitting here trying to like work with Ariana Grande. Not that I wouldn't love that, but what I mean is that I would love to be part of the team that created the Latin version of, you know, that idol globally that Ariana Grande is.
And you mentioned that there is no music industry in Dominican Republic, but there is a lot of music and a lot of musicians. So what you have is like small companies there, or all artists have to go to Miami?
Yeah, we have like management companies, like small management companies, like a lot of like hustlers that will like move music here and there. But there's no structure, and it's also like super urban, super like, for lack of a better term, it's like protected by the hoods. So for me, it was super hard to like get into, and I wanted to. It's not that I was like, okay, it's just the hoods, I'm not gonna. No, I wanted so bad to get into that space. It's just like, you know, you, that respect you need to earn by, you know, other stuff. And it was super hard for me. So I just went with the academic path. Not that I couldn't do it the other way around. It's just going to take like 10 years to get the respect of the hood, you know? And so they know that I know about what I'm talking about, and I know music and whatever, because I'm so different from what they are used to work with and see. So how we in the past 10 years have done the music business, I would categorize it as luck. Like, whoever has been successful from the Dominican Republic was clearly super lucky. A hustler, work tirelessly to get where they are, because there's nothing on their favors to help them like transcend the island. So that's first thing I want to change and help with when I'm able to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And you most probably you will, knowing you, you will. So as you mentioned, you went to do like master's program at Berkeley. And after graduating, you got an internship at one of the literally coolest labels on earth, Interscope Records, which is a very, very big deal. And not only you got an internship, you turned it into an actual job, which is super hard for a non-US citizen. So could you share what it's like to work at such a big label?
Yeah, so it was a huge blessing for me to be able to land that internship that I landed one day before I graduated.
Wow.
I had to literally move the sky to get that, you know, because
how
of
did
the
you
visa
do it?
Papers.
Tell me.
And all. It's a long story. You have time?
Yeah.
It's a podcast. I guess you do. So, I don't know, a friend recommended me to the label because they were looking for, like, a girl that knew about, like, reggaeton, like, liked reggaeton, like, as I want to live off reggaeton type of love for them. And I just, I had, they called me and they wanted to like get to know me. Nothing, you know, like quote unquote, like prophet, like, you know, like for lack of a term, let's say it was nothing like settled or whatever. They just wanted to like talk to me. Mm-hmm. And the graduation was on Sunday and this call happened on Thursday. So what happens when you're not an American and you need an internship is that you need to file some papers and sign up on a semester in the US in order to do an internship. And obviously the deadline was clearly close by that time. And they were like, my boss, like who ended up being my boss, was also, he also went through what I was going to go through. And he's like, you should do this, da, da, da. And I'm so grateful because he took the time to tell me what I needed to do. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know, like, that could be an option that could be done or whatever. I just took the call just to take it. And obviously, who's going to reject a call from, like, exactly what you said, the coolest label ever. And they're like, yeah, we'll wait for you. You have the internship. And I'm like, so I talked to Berkeley and they're like, it's like, what? Like, it's the deadline was like a month ago. And I'm like, listen to me, you beautiful humans. Like, if the American government wants to tell me I can't do this, I will understand and respect that. But you, as my alma mater, please, like, back me up. Like, mm-hmm. come on. And they moved and did everything on a record speed for me to be able to get all the paperwork that I needed in order to, like, move to Boston first and then to Miami to do this internship. And after that, I kicked it in. We started working. It's a team that's starting. It's the Latin side of Interscope, to call it like that. And yeah, if I could just give anybody an advice, it would be just like to really push it until like you can't push no more. It's not hard, but I mean, it was like we would like look for jobs for like since January, and I got a call from my dream label.
Yeah,
a day before, like I actually had to be like, I'm not graduating. Bye, I'm doing an extra semester.
Yeah, you have to be ready, right?
Yeah,
when and the opportunity comes,
of course.
So, what it's like to work there, and how your regular day there looks like, more or less?
Yeah. So I mean, we can talk before and after the pandemic.
Yes.
Before the pandemic, it was just like a cool environment. We just get to the office. We had like, so product management, it's the marketing side of the aspect of the artist. So we just like develop campaigns and listen to the new music we're going to put out and do these strategies and all sort of stuff. And then on the other side, we just be able to like go to video shoots and request all of that it's needed in order to do a good promotion of a song that's coming up. And after the pandemic, it's basically the same thing through Zoom. We have a lot of Zoom calls. We try to get into it with everything. We have a little cool stuff coming up. And we've done well last year. So we're just starting. We're super proud. And it's a small team, but we have all the... We have the hustler machine in the office, so we're all ready to bring out the guns.
That's great. And what was the coolest moment of your time there? Maybe some cool event, or I don't know. Have you been starstruck already or something? I don't know.
No, anything. It's hard for me to get starstruck. It's really hard for me to get starstruck. I get starstruck more with like really big executive than with artists. It's a weird
really?
Thing.
Like who?
Executives?
Yeah.
I don't think I can say that.
Okay.
But I don't know. I get to work with a lot of cool people that were my idols, like on a daily basis, and they're kind enough to give me advice and to care about like how I feel and what how am I doing and if I like what I'm doing and what I see myself in the future. And that's something I will never take for granted. And mm-hmm. You know, life is crazy. I wish I could be more specific, but I can't. But life is insane right now.
No, that's cool. That's enough. As you mentioned, you're not originally from Miami.
Yeah.
How was this transition for you? Was it hard for you to move there and to get used to the different country, different culture and all that, and working there?
So I was never, it was never in my plans to move to the US. All my life I've been really opposed to the idea. I mean, I knew I was going to end up here because of the career path I wanted to, but I was definitely trying to like delay that coming to the US as much as possible.
Why?
Everybody that knows me knows I'm obsessed with Madrid. I can literally die for that city. And I used to live there before when I moved from out of the DR for the first time. So I have this island mentality and this wanting to break through from the island desire, but I'm also pretty chill and relaxed. And then I moved to Europe and I saw all this culture and all this stuff that, you know, there I don't have at home, because there's like history of culture in Europe. And I was super impressed and like in love with that. And moving to Miami, it's been like the 360 part of like the three lives one can have. Miami is, and the US in general, like super corporate and different, and I've had to get used to a ton of stuff that I normally don't have to or will never have to either in Madrid or on DR in Europe. But I think everything is a learning. It's amazing that I get to experience this young, and I have nothing but like gratefulness and like I'm so grateful for everywhere that I've been and everything that I get to do. So I just like, even when people like tow my car because I left the park where I shouldn't, because I didn't know.
Really? Oh, that's terrible.
I was like, you know what? It's gonna happen once and then it's not gonna happen again, because now I know. So
yeah,
that's how I take life right now. It's just like, yeah, I have the right to fuck up once and then I know.
And then you learn.
And then I know. Yeah.
There is something else I wanted to discuss with you. So for me, you're like a reggaeton expert, reggaeton queen. Everything that, when I think of reggaeton, you're like the first person that I think about.
That makes me really proud, actually.
Why do you think this genre got so big recently, like a couple of years ago? I mean, worldwide, obviously.
Yeah.
Why do you think such a trend happened?
Wow. This is going to be such a long response. I want to say, like, on the structure stuff of reggaeton, it's just so happy. You get so pumped when you listen to it. There's no way you can't dance to that. The evolution of it, because at the beginning it was super, like, niche, but the evolution of it has become very pop, and it's meant to be very pop, and it's designed to be super pop. And I also feel like, once when we had what was called the first lighting explosion, when we had like Gloria Estefan and Ricky Martin and early Shakira and J-Lo, we would go to the US market and sing in English with our rhythms and our, obviously our spice, but in English. And right now what's going on is that they are calling us because they want to get in the Spanish wave, in the Latin wave. They want to get that sauce. So
yeah.
So I feel like, just like a lot of good people are in the industry right now, working super hard. A lot of cool artists, cool, authentic, different artists are coming up from the Latin scene right now. And they're making that difference and putting that stamp of approval. That's why you've been singing Ducky Day this whole month, like a crazy person. I've seen your stories. Because, you know, and when I see that, it just makes me so proud that, you know, you can enjoy as much as I do without having the context that I have in Russia. And it's about a island in Puerto Rico that's the size of my thumb that probably they go where they go in the boats and they want to be in the beach. So without everything around it, it's just a good song with a good beat, and it makes you laugh and dance and it makes you happy. And I feel like Latin music makes you happy in general, not only reggaeton, and we need happiness right now in the world.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's a key too, that it's just, it lifts you up a lot. And I think we have a long way to go. The lighting industry has to evolve into film, into TV, into magazines, into bigger award shows. So the whole like spectrum to it creates a solid base, like a Hollywood did in the in their beginnings. And that's gonna happen. Like I said, we have a lot of well educated hustlers dying to make this happen for the industry, representing their flags. So it's gonna be interesting years for the lighting industry. I'm super excited that I get to be a part of it, at least look it from a minimal part in whatever way I can put my small grain of salt. I will gladly do.
I'm so happy that I have a friend who literally in the center of this industry. I can't wait to go to some parties with you already.
Of course, whenever you want.
Whenever pandemic is over.
Of course, yeah, safety measures first.
Who are the Dominican singers that you're the most proud of?
Well, in history, I would like to say Juan Luis Guerra. He's like the icon of, he's the icon of probably Latin America. I'm not even talking. Yeah, Juan Luis Guerra is something, it's like a, what we call like a master or something, maestro of music. So, okay, so Juan Luis Guerra, I feel like he evolved and elevated the Dominican sounds into a much classier way of, because all the sounds from the islands in the Caribbean are obviously from Africa. And he, and we're super proud and honored to have that influence. And he just took that and mixed it with, like, he went to Berkeley as well as we did. So he went to jazz school and he mixed that, all that African essence with like the jazz and the music structure that he learned at Berkeley. And the result is a 50-year-old career full of number ones. I don't know how many Grammys. I don't think he even knows how many Grammys he has. He's just a legend, and he did something super destructive, classy, wholeheartedly beautiful. And I feel like it's the purest form of art. And that would be like my legend forever. I feel like everybody should listen to Juan Luis Guerra. And then currently, it's going to be a little controversial, but I just respect his hustle so much from the Dominican Republic. I would say El Alfa. I just feel like he's so hardworking and so ready to give his 100% everywhere. And he just did his career himself. He was his manager, his booker, his promoter, his lawyer, his label, his distribution, his publishing. He's his everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what you need to do to be a successful artist outside of the DR. And I don't think you want to do that as an artist, because you're like, I just want to create and do this and that. And he knew he needed to do that, and he set the foot down and put an example. So after him, I think we'll have great like generations of Dominican artists that will know how to put the work in and get it done.
Luckily, the artists from there are amazing. And in case somebody haven't heard of these artists that you just mentioned, you should listen to them. MJ, what are your life highlights?
So far?
Yes, of course, so far. You want to tell me about your future highlights?
I feel like I've had a lot of interesting conversation with people I thought I will never be able to speak in my whole life. And just like Yvette, who's, you know, your
my
god.
Legend.
And Rebecca on my side, and all of these like people that gotten to know me, and I feel like they know me, and that's so cool that when like they tell me advice, they know who they're telling the advice to. It's not like a random girl that's just asking for it, and that's my highlight. The fact that, you know, Yvette knows I probably end up in politics, or you know, or that this person tells me like how to talk to A, X, and Y because I wanna pitch this idea because I feel like it's a good idea. So I feel like having that complete attention from these legends and talking to them and them being interested in what I have to say and what I bring to the table, it's always a highlight, and I always freak out a little bit, and I always text somebody like Connie or you guys, and I'm like, ah! And I always have to you know, sit down for a moment and be like, wow, I thought this conversation was either never going to happen or take me 20 years to be in this table. So I never want to lose perspective on that. You know, like I always want to begin with gratitude and end with gratitude.
That's the best approach, probably.
Yeah.
And how would you define a success for yourself?
Honestly, I don't put pressure on that word for me. Like, mm-hmm. I know I want to get some stuff done. I know I want to help the Dominican scene. But I also, it's super important for me to, like, have
no
a family.
No pressure, just help my country. No pressure.
Yeah, you know. I just also want to have a family and, like, make sure I'm happy and centered and that I get to have a life by the time I want to have a life. Because right now, mm-hmm. it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say success for me is more a personal thing. It's like a set of happiness, a set of peace, calmness, and being able to pursue and help who I want to help and mm-hmm. and yeah, make sure I can actually make an impact and help. And I'm not stopping until like I do something about the VR when it comes to the music industry. And I think after that, I'm just gonna chill and like. Have daughters and whatever.
You're probably gonna do it in the next couple of years, and then you say you're gonna chill. I don't believe that.
I'm gonna end up in politics. Yvette told you.
Shit. Okay, so I'm basically talking to the next president of DR.
Nah. Okay. Probably the minister of culture. Yes.
Okay, that's also big. At the end, I'm asking some very quick questions.
Okay.
You can give me very short, quick answers.
Cool.
Do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations for our listeners?
Ooh. Books. If you're an artist, do not spend one more day without reading for all you need to know about the music industry. Like, even if you don't know you want to be an artist, if you think so, you want to help a friend out, that book is my Bible. It's right next to me. It sleeps next to me. I read it every day. It's like I open to check stuff and then I close it again. Movies.
Maybe something you watched recently.
I am a sucker for bad movies, so I don't want to.
Okay.
But I feel like a movie like everybody should watch. It's been my favorite movie from all time. It's called August Rush. It's about a kid that obviously does music and it's super dramatic and it's super inspiring too. And you said song?
Yeah.
I would say La Noche de Anoche, Rosalía and Bad Bunny. It's just legends in the making mm-hmm. if they're not already. So I feel like that was a collab meant to happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a celebrity crush? And who is it?
Celebrity crush? I'll probably meet him soon, so I don't wanna. But it's Fade. It's a Colombian singer. I just love his brain, though. I love his music a lot, and like his brain is like his brain when it comes to doing music. It's for me something else within the Latin aspect. So I think I have a crush on his
brain. What was the name? I missed
Fade.
Fade.
Yeah, F A I D. Super niche, okay. But he's gonna get deep.
What is the most useless talent that you have?
Useless.
Mm-hmm.
I probably know every reggaeton song in the history of reggaeton. Like, I could literally a cappella you the song, like the full raps. I know the biggest like rap song in my country. It's called Capendo. It's 14 minutes and I know it by heart. And it's full
what?
Like bars.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's freaking useless, but it's a talent.
Somebody has a very good memory.
Yeah.
And the last question that I have for you today is, who inspires you the most?
I think my mom. I think like she just graduated from psychology and she's doing a master's degree and she's like 50. And not that there's nothing wrong with being 50. She's like, she just keeps evolving and translating and pursuing stuff that she wants to. Doesn't matter like the age, whatever, and she has been like such a good and present mom. I haven't felt like she has done all that she has done. So mm-hmm. I think that's my goal, like to like accomplish what I want, but also to like, if I have children, hopefully one day, that they don't feel like I sacrificed them in order to do stuff that I want to do. So I feel like that's my goal. It's super inspiring. And I wish I could be half of her. Like half of her, what she's done, I wish I could do that.
That's beautiful. You will. You definitely will. Knowing you, you will be, and you will be even better.
That's
as it. Our parents always wish that we are better, and hopefully you will. And thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
Here
I'm
today.
I'm so proud of you for doing this.
Thank you. I'm so happy you joined today. It's been a very cool conversation, and I can't wait for others to hear this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.